Hello, everyone, and welcome back to episode 7 of the Super Slutty podcast. It's going to be a bit of a weird vibe today. It's a very awkward recording position, and Blair is being super annoying, but she's here joining us as usual.
The Super Slutty Snake's actually being super annoying.
Okay, whatever. So, we wanted to kick off with something which is obviously super relevant to what Blair and I do, which is, well, kind of what Blair does, which is social media, I guess specifically Instagram. Because a lot of people have been messaging and kind of trying to glorify to an extent what I do. And I guess Blair gets the same thing about what she does and how great it must be to be a model and on Instagram and blah, 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 and have followers and all that crap.
It is great. Okay. It is fun. Like, I mean, it's a fun thing. It's a new age thing, right? We're connected. We're on the social media.
Just 1 second. You got to talk in the microphone.
I am talking in the microphone. Okay.
Continue.
So we are so lucky to have these opportunities of being able to connect to anyone around the world via social media, via the internet. It's great, right? Well, it's also a lot of pressure, a lot of conformity, a lot of BS, because we're also restricted to an algorithm of what works, what gets attention, and then also the conflicts you have with yourself as to, is this something I actually give a shit about? Or is this something I'm shamelessly using to pull in an audience to, you know, feel powerful or to get jobs or whatever it is? For a model, it's particularly like jobs, Instafame is somewhat correlated to that. Or, you know, I guess if you're a full-on influencer, maybe you're not so much a model, but just about content and sponsorships. But as okay. The snake is a memologist, so What do you find is your influence and power?
That is a weird question. Look.
Well, is there pressure to that?
Because you have,
you're talking to, in your case, 100,011.
No, 115,000. 100,011. Just stay behind over there. Yeah, I guess there is a lot of responsibility that comes with having a following. I always get pressured whenever there's a world event. Like, it could be anything. It could be coronavirus-related stuff or what happened in Beirut or the Black Lives Matter or any socio-political, economic, whatever event that goes on. I'm basically implored to do something because I have a following and because... And it's nice to have it, but also at the same time, you do feel pressured. But yeah, it's not exactly an enjoyable thing having the following.
Well, let's talk about, like, do you feel you get feedback via DMs, comments on every post you do? And when you do that, do you find, I mean, surely there's a bit of a rush if you're going to get like shit tons of likes, shit tons of comments praising, whether it be the content. Or then the alternative, shit tons of comments being offended and pissed. So what does it feel like reacting to an audience like that?
I'm not going to lie. When you do a good post and the likes and the comments come in, it feels good because you know most of the time that you've done good work and you've made people laugh and you've caused a discourse to go on in the comments, which is great. But it's not the be all and end all. There's a lot of times when I post something that I really enjoyed making that made my friends laugh and you guys just, I don't know, didn't get it or didn't really vibe with it or is a bit too niche, which is definitely something that I'm accused of. But it's not about the likes. It's just about posting what you want to post and trusting in your vision and your creative direction, because if you do that, then... You know, well, first of all, I've been trusting my intuition for the last 2 years and it's led me on the right path. So I'm going to continue doing that. But if you start listening too much to what people are commenting and DMing, then you're not going to go anywhere because you're reliant on other people and then you're reactive rather than proactive.
Okay, but let's be honest that at the end of the day, getting a bunch of likes fucking feels good. You're like, yeah, the world is loving me right now. It feels nice. Feels good, right?
Yeah, but I guess so. I guess for you it's different because you've just like put up a picture of your ass and then you get a lot of likes.
Okay, this is some goddamn bullshit. Let me just interfere right here. How is that, like, you know, in this, okay, A, that's not true. And B, you getting a bunch of likes, you getting a bunch of likes and comments based on your like humor. Is that not a very similar thing where you're sitting there like, yes, I'm so fucking funny. Yeah, love me, love me. Yeah, it definitely is. You love it.
Yes, but I actually had to work to do it. I had to write something. I had to make something.
This ass didn't train itself, okay? And also, I wouldn't even say that's my best asset, so.
I'm not going to comment on that. But what I'm saying is you literally just like pose. Or like bend or whatever you do.
I write poems, okay? I write fucking poetry.
No one's liking you for the poems. No, but in all seriousness, we wanted to segue onto something which is a little bit more relevant in today's society, which is kind of the anxiety and depression, mental health related issues that come with the social media. And, you know, obviously a lot of people like to glorify the positions that me and Blair are in terms of having a following and having a voice and, oh, it must be so nice to get likes. And it doesn't matter at which stage you're at. I mean, because my account compared to Kim Kardashian's account is tiny, but my account compared to a guy that has 50 followers is massive. So it's all relative. So I'll talk from my point of view. And, you know, if you're not careful and you're not able to control the various elements of Instagram, whether it's the comments, the DMs, whatever it may be, if you do an Instagram live, the live reactions, anything, then, you know, it can cause some serious damage. And what I think I've been able to do is disconnect myself as a person from the persona that I've created for the page. So if people abuse me, if people criticize me, it doesn't really matter that much. Obviously, sometimes there are people that scare me with threats and stuff like that, but that's an entirely different thing. But it does come with a lot of responsibility. And I think I should ask Blair on this one about, you know, all the girls that are messaging you and saying, oh, you're so beautiful and oh, you've got such a large following and oh, blah, 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 about being a model. But what are the drawbacks?
I think overall, something that plagues models everywhere is the constant idea of, you know, that some people you meet, whether it be an actual client that you're working for, you're hired by, or it be friends of friends or people you've met who you know follow you but you've never met, and then you do meet, things like this, that you know that someone somewhere has an idea of who you are and what you are, and then in person the pressure of whether it be that you deliver on high expectations or are just being judged immediately and just feel awkward in that interaction. And I think a big part of that is just that social media, what everyone puts their highlights, everyone puts their best photos, everyone puts their, you know, I'm happy, whatevers. And I think also it's a maturity thing that when I was a younger model, I think you get more absorbed into that world because it all seems so relative to work. It all seems so relative to popularity and things like that. But as you get older, you realize that When you meet someone you think is really cool or really awesome, beautiful, nice, kind, you see their social media differently anyway. You're not going to see it with judging eyes. And
but do you feel like you're being prejudged too often because of what you post or because of the nature of being a model and the fact that you need to post and the nature of what you post? And then are people more pleasantly surprised when they meet you and they're like, oh wow, you're actually intelligent and fun and interesting? Or would you say that there are negative reactions to when people meet you versus your Instagram?
No, I think that shit's all in your head. I think realistically, anyone you meet, whether they've seen your Instagram or not, has probably not put nearly as much thought that in your head you might have imagined just because humans do that. But like, reality is, I doubt anyone's thinking about you any like as long as or as hard as you imagine, just because
you no definitely cares. Have no some people that are thinking about you, especially those three guys that always DM you very, very weird stuff. So there's definitely a few.
Well, hey, they actually, some of the people that DM me, they're very nice things. So, I mean, I can't complain about that, to be honest.
Let's save the DMs for part two.
True.
Because that is the second segment. Oops, just gave it away. But I think the thing here is that, I guess the glorification of being somebody on social media, not saying that I am or that Blair is, but people assume so because of the following or whatever, or because you're verified or whatever it may be, does cause a lot more pressures, I guess, than it does positive things. I mean, obviously there are a lot of positive things that come out of it. You create a brand out of nothing and you can start creating offshoots of the brand and create different revenue streams and blah, 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 which both of us have done. But there's a lot of drawbacks. You know, when you're abused in comments, or, you know, if you're told, for me, it's more like, oh, this meme was shit, or this meme was great, this one's not so good, talk about this, don't talk about that, it's disgusting that you talk like this, blah, blah, blah. Any type of reaction like this, it feels kind of like a roller coaster. One day you're up, the next day you're down, the next day you're up again, the next day you're down. You could be up for a couple weeks, every post hits. You know, you're never going to get 100% record in terms of comments and likes and everybody liking something. Sometimes you do. Sometimes you have virality. I've had a few memes that have become viral. There was one post, the LA fuckboy one, which I think was shared over 25,000 times just in the DMs, which I've never had a figure like that before. So, yeah, it was crazy. So, you know, I guess if I was so invested in the engagement, then I would be extremely disappointed on every single post since the LA fuckboy, which has failed to reach those same dizzy heights. But for me, what I'm trying to create it's basically like my portfolio. It's like having a website, being a graphic designer and displaying your work. And that's exactly what I'm doing. I'm displaying stuff that I'm proud of, that I liked making, that I think is funny. I mean, it's not so serious, my thing. So it's just whatever I found funny at that particular time when I was making the meme, you know, the weirdness of the captions. It's basically just like, it's my own portfolio that I'm displaying. And I don't really care that much if the post bombs. I mean, I think maybe there's been a couple occasions when I've deleted something because I realized after I posted it that it wasn't that good and didn't live up to the expectations of my followers and my own expectations. But it's rare. If I like something, I post it and it doesn't do well, I say to myself, you know what? I liked it.
You say that? You liked it? That's cool.
Do you feel that way do you care so much about the likes and stuff, or is it for you about growth, about followers, or have you stopped caring about that? Is it just something that you have because your agency tells you you need it? Is it essential for work? Tell us.
I've stopped caring about the following thing because
dropping.
Because overall, at one point there was a very like, models were expected to be influencers. If you were a model, if you go to castings and you have to put your following onto the casting sheet for a brand that, you know, why do they really care what your social media is when they're just trying to hire you for their images for their brand? But I think now it's gotten far more like there are models and there are influencers and there are a separate category. And you can be both at the same time, and that's great. But it's a lot of work to maintain. And I think overall, the content you'll never regret is like your sincere content. And, you know, it's frankly, I find like most influencers are not sincere. Why? Because it'd be fucking hard to all the time have sincere content you're putting out to a bunch of strangers, a huge audience that's going to give you a bunch of feedback and opinions on that. If it's properly sincere, that's just hard to do 24/7. You might find some moments of it, but you're not going to give your whole world
away. I guess you have more. So you have more pressure to do that because it's you that you're displaying. You are Blair and you are displaying Blair. Whereas I am hiding behind a reptilian mask. And therefore, if I'm feeling shit one day, I don't have to tell you guys. Maybe I would on my personal account, which I'm obviously not going to mention the name of. But...
You know what? Nobody on any account, no one tells anyone how shit they feel one day.
I've done on my personal page.
Okay, that's different. That is I'm not even going to mention that. Anyway, but like you're not going to like one day you're like feeling grumpy or just like under the weather. You're not going to be like, hey, everybody, I'm grumpy and I'm under the weather. Everyone's going to be like...
Yeah, but some models have... I saw a model post the other day. I'm not going to mention her name. And it was like literally a collage of her crying in like different poses. And it was like, oh, I miss blah, blah, blah. And I miss my dog. And I miss blah, blah, blah. And, you know, I could have just posted a bikini picture, but I...
But see, see, there it was. It was the branding of like, and I could have just posted my happy life, but actually I'm going to be genuine and tell you, I'm going to show you my most beautiful...
Brands, please pay
my
me,
most beautiful
please.
Crying photos and tell you how bad I felt and how human I am. Okay, bye guys, love you.
How many takes do you think she did on the crying photos? Was it like...
50 yeah. selfies.
She's like, do I look upset enough in this one? And then she gets her friend to like bring more of like the little, you know, droplets that she's using, like the fake tears or whatever. That's a bit mean, but whatever. I mean, it's kind of true. I think in conclusion to all of this stuff, because we've rambled on long enough, social media can induce anxiety and depression. So remember, it's not as cool as you think it is to have a big following. Wait, it's not such a bad thing if you don't. It doesn't really matter. At the end of the day, if you're using social media for the right reasons, then it's a good thing. If you have a small following, it's private, and you want to share your family photos and pictures of your dog, great. If it's like me and you want to create a brand out of something and make people laugh, because that's a genuine intention. That's how I started the page, just to make people laugh. I had no other intention. I didn't want to build a business. Now I'm building a business and I still want to make people laugh because I know that that's the core of the business. Then if you stick to that philosophy and to that mission statement, then you will be fine. Blair, what are your final words?
That at the end of the day, no one's going to remember Instagram posts. They're hot for about 24 hours and then everyone moves on and forgets about them. So really, social media is not that serious and you can do whatever you want, say whatever you want. And if there's sincerity there, it's absolutely the coolest kind of content than any of the other shitty content.
Okay, so as Blair says, keep going with the ass shots and we will see you in part two. Welcome back to part two, you adorable little sluts. Now, in part two, we wanted to continue the social media theme. It's going to be a social media bonanza today and talk about DMing. And the title of this segment is DMing. Has it gone too far? Should guys do it? Does it even work?
Go down.
Now, I am not much of a DMer. Well, maybe not in terms of the amount that I fire them out, but I'm not good at them. So I wanted to ask Blair, who receives a lot of them, and she probably has a better insight than I do. However, she is out of the game because she has a boyfriend, but she definitely receives a lot of DMs. So she might chuckle at the odd one and think, you know what, if I was single, this one would make me respond. And therefore, she's going to share some insight right now.
I mean, to be honest, I have yet to receive a DM. Well, yeah, no.
What do you mean you've yet to receive a DM?
No, I've yet to receive a DM where I'm like, oh yeah, if I were single, I'd be all about this guy. And I mean, I think that's a point about DMs in general, is that if you're really lucky and you deliver the exact code that cracks the code, opens the door, and you get to meet the chick you're trying to hit on. You go for dinner, you get drinks or whatever. That's it. That's all you need to do. The DM is not going to get you anywhere beyond that. So,
well, interestingly enough, we fired out a Instagram story asking female followers, and thank you a bunch of male followers for responding, if DMs did work, and whether they get them and whether they could think of any good ones. Now, we've got some reactions. At Edda BZ says, no, especially when you're private, seems creepy and spammy. A bit harsh on people that are private and low-key, but okay. But someone else says, at Tondada says, they almost never work unless you are really hot. Now, are you implying that the profile has to be open and therefore you're scanning to see if he's hot or not? I guess you wouldn't be able to tell in a private one if it's like a microscopic profile picture, right? That makes sense. At Stella Vanilla says, just no. Might have answered a few DMs via guys from Rye I missed. Lol. Lol, Stella Vanilla. That's a good point. I guess a lot of people use it as kind of like the backup for Raya / they try and get off Raya ASAP and get onto Instagram if the girl doesn't respond on Raya, which, not from personal experience, but from what I've heard, a lot of girls don't respond on Raya, and I don't know why they even bother using it or matching.
I'm starting to think that DMs just don't work. I'm starting to think DMs are just... Has anyone pulled someone from Instagram, no mutual friends, DM to real life?
They do work. They do work. Yes, of course.
Are you sure?
Yeah, I mean...
Are you sure it's not in the case that someone already vouched for it? Someone knew someone and there's some mutual friend involved. Complete strangers on Instagram. I know it works on Tinder.
That's a good point.
But like...
There has to be like a certain maximum number of degrees of separation. If it's like a complete random... with no mutuals, then I guess it's pretty hard. At Inana says, depends on a sender, but the fire emoji doesn't work, lol. Okay, that's where I've been going wrong. I've been doing the aubergine fire, aubergine wheelchair fire.
Oh, don't get the wheelchair involved.
No, that's actually a friend of mine that does that. Mm. It's me, Marie, says, they're good for a laugh at best. I thank guys for doing it because it basically is the only reason I created the Model Whisperer account and I'm able to post is because guys keep doing it and I think they'll do it for the rest of time. So guys keep on doing it and occasionally they are really, really funny.
And, you know, as much as it's easy to like shit on it, at the end of the day, it's like if I go out of my way to post like, some kind of something where I'm like, yeah, I'm feeling myself and post this selfie. If I don't get some fire reactions and some DMs with fires or something, you know, I'm going to be a bit pissed because at the end of the day, it is quite nice to know at least there's someone being like, yeah, that's fire.
Good point. So, okay. So I guess the story reactions are technically DMs, but potentially less creepy. I've heard from girls in the past that they would definitely respond to a story reply kind of like a bit of a neggy one, kind of making fun a little bit. I've definitely fired some out like that in the past and they've worked. So maybe story replies are better.
What, you mean neggy one as in sees girl post something and then makes fun of what she's eating or wearing or where she is or that makes fun of her caption or something that then...
Yeah, I'm trying to remember. It was an American girl... What was it? And she was like drinking a green juice at Erewhon. And I said something like, wow, a model drinking green juice outside Erewhon. You're really one of a kind or something like that. I mean, it was obviously phrased a lot better than that. And it worked.
It worked how though? It worked that she replied. Because
she replied.
Well, I mean,
but it was from Slutty Snake, and she already followed. So
okay. Shut up. You follow a meme page that doesn't count in DM land.
Yeah, but I don't DM from my personal page, which is private, and I would just never even bother.
Surely you've bothered. Let's be honest.
Yes, occasionally, but not so often. Now that I have this
powerful
tool.
But to the average folk who's not running some like meme page and whatevers.
The average folk.
Not my words,
Blair's words.
How many? Not every person has a meme page.
Let's listen to at Fern Yak, who says, I only reply to DMs from people who have mutual friends with me. That's your point before.
Yeah, that is definitely a point.
Would you say don't bother unless you have mutuals? So all of these guys that are firing out hundreds of DMs to Kendall and Bella, not Gigi anymore, she's preggers, but those type of girls, are they wasting their time? But wait, what if they're blue ticked? What if it's like...
Yeah, I was just going to say, particularly in the scene that you're trying to score with some, you know, dreamy model you're obsessed with, I think realistically the DM is not going to work unless you do have a blue tick, do have some kind of link to your something, and do have some kind of like, you know, celebrities following you or something. Otherwise, no one's going... She's not going to care. It's going to be in a sea of other DMs.
At Banal Rudaini says, any guy that DMs me is a no. It's just not a good way to pick up girls. Interesting. And oh, and Pow Pow 9 says, so tacky, quality men don't DM. I'm going to disagree with you there, Pow Pow 9. Quality men do DM because at certain times in life, such as lockdown, which I coined as cockdown yesterday, you've got to. You have no other choice. What else are you going to do?
Well, and look, it's very like modern day. That's what people do. So I think quality men will always put it in the category of like, oh, I did this. And now, like, if they've actually, like, you know, started dating the girl, whatever, we laugh about it. It's so funny. Like, oh, I would never do that, but I just tried with her. I don't DM girls. You know, it's one of those things where it's like, oh, it's funny, but, like, I'm not like that. I'm not, like, the DM guy.
Should I keep reading out the usernames or maybe just do it anonymous? Okay, so someone says, if total strangers know if we have friends in common, then they can't be that creepy, right?
Yeah.
And well, general, but you like, can still assumption. Be, you could still be fucking creepy.
Yeah, you
creepy.
Totally can, but at least you have other people to then like turn to. You know this guy,
okay,
right?
When you were single and a guy with mutuals hit you up in the DMs and you had mutuals and you thought he was attractive, would you ask friends like, oh, who's Todd? Tell me about him.
Yeah, I guess. Theoretically, of course. I think also that, frankly, there's zero chance I'm just going to go meet up with someone that I don't know and doesn't know anyone I know just based on some DM or something. Zero chance.
Yeah, because you have a boyfriend. So
I'm saying theoretically.
Out of the game. Someone else says, DMs could work. The good old gentleman hello works. Cringy pickup lines are well cringy. I don't know about that. I mean, if you just fire up a hello. Look. At the end of the day, if a girl wants to speak to you, you could fire out anything you want. If you're, I don't know, a famous guy that's blue-ticked, a lot of followers, you have mutuals, and you slide in, and the girl wants to get to know you, she's going to respond. You could write, hi, what's up, hey, WWYD, whatever the fuck you're going to send, and it would probably work. However, if you're not such a good-looking guy, you're not verified, bit of a random... you might need to fire something a little bit more interesting.
Wait, hold on. That also brings me to my point. Any DMs I get from someone with a blue tick or someone who thinks they're something, what do the dudes send? They literally send a, hey, what's up? Or a, how's it going? Or, you know, they're just super casual as though they don't have to do any work. They don't have to compliment me or say some other
because they don't.
No, I've not responded to any of them. Fuck
yeah,
you.
Yeah, because you're in a relationship. But if you weren't, you might. That's the honest truth. It's the God's honest truth.
I don't know.
Okay, someone else says it semi-works depending on profile. But yes, it can go too far if you are a battler. I've been sent on Model Whisperer some people that have basically been trying with the same girl for like 5 years and don't stop, which I find hilarious. I guess there's definitely a cutoff point. But you need to have, I guess, some element of relentlessness. Otherwise, you know, a lot of the girls won't respond first time. And if you're disheartened and you don't respond again, then, or you don't try again, then it's never going to work. Someone says, works for me all the time. Ha, ha, ha. Interesting. Someone wanted to buy photos of my armpit. That was weird. I've seen plenty of these on Model Whisperer, a bunch of shit. Like, can I have pictures of your toes? Can I have pictures of the soles of your feet? Can you send me your underwear? Yeah, can I lick your armpit? Can I lick your toes? Like, the weirdest shit. That is bizarre. And then someone says here they don't work, period. I would say the conclusion is they only work if you're somebody, if the girl has mutuals, if the girl wants to get to know you anyway, if you have a public profile, because if you're private, you've got no chance unless the girl knows who you are. Those are the key things. So guys, if you're firing out irrelevant ones, if you're doing it for fun, fine, and they're not abusive or whatever, but I would curb it, to be honest. Yeah. I don't think it's really worth it. Okay, so now I'm going to do the Bring the Meme to Life segment. It was a post that I posted. Yeah, get out of the way, Blair. It was a post that I posted. When was it? Let's have a look. On the 31st of August, and it was about lame tech guys that don't shut up about their IPOs. So I guess I'm going to do it in like a California douchebag accent. Here goes. Yeah, man, it's been a really crazy year. I'm glad you asked. So essentially, I set up a B2B to C, B2C to B to C, data-driven shark fintech bioservices platform with the guys of Ufer Capital called Mercedes-Benz, which is basically a Lyft for domestic cats. We recently raised a $75 million Series A at a pretty young money, cash money, post-Malone valuation of $16 billion with Alphabetti Spaghetti VC leading. That was pretty dope. And since I'm boys with the team at TechCrunch, with a few more write-ups, we'll be probably IPOing so hard your sphincter will erupt. Then there's this really sick VR, AR, machine gun learning algorithm, B2C, B12, Bieber, Burrito, Burrata, Ratatatatatata, PropTech data mining analytical app called Elon Tusk, which is essentially PayPal meets SpaceX, but for elephants suffering from anxiety. We just raised a $67 trillion Series Q led by Ashton Kutcher's Labrador. If that doesn't IPO within the next 3 months, then I'll fuck a donkey in the battery at 3 p.m. That's how sure I am. Then last, but certainly not least, is the unicorn to rainbow rape all unicorns. My pride and joy, DickDock. Essentially, DickDock is a 5G pink tooth enabled device that allows you to dock your phallus overnight and heal any STDs that may be present in the balls or in the shaft. It's made from 87% recycled silicone and 30% sustainable Maltese horseradish. We just IPO'd that son of a bitch last week on the ass crack, and the current share price is $475 per share. I could cut you a deal at $300 per share if you introduce me to Kendall Jenner. I know she's exclusively dating NBA players, but do you think she'll dig my 5'3" skinny virgin ass if I bore her to death with Silicon Valley chat and then after 3 seconds IPO all over her chest? Would she move to SF with me? I have an aquarium with rare albino jellyfish. Wow. That could have been better, but whatever.
That was great.
I did my best. Guys, thank you very much for tuning in. I know it was a bit late again, but we're doing our best. There's a lot of exciting related content coming up in audio and video format. So keep your eyes peeled. And there are some exciting announcements to come. I can't announce anything right now, but there's definitely some exciting shit in the works. So have a great weekend. We're going to probably release this on Friday, which is tomorrow, because we're on Thursday now. That's how the days of the week work. But have a wonderful time. Enjoy your week.
Bye.
And goodbye.